Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The only thing, God's saying there, the only thing that matters in this life is understanding and knowing me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how smart you are, what kind of PhD you have. Knowing me is the only thing that will bring about any salvation for you. Righteousness in the earth, and for these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you there, God never excluded anyone. There was always a way, and we've seen so many people who would come from a far distant land, come to the nation of Israel, and they already knew the God of Israel. Might have known him by a slightly different name, but it was him. Absolutely him.
They actually called them out on not doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And when Paul went into the one town, they got all these different monuments to their different gods, and there was a monument there to the unknown God of heaven. And he said, in their ignorance, they even know that he's there. And you know what? That's enough for God. He's not going to hold you accountable for being ignorant. But just to know that he's there, he'll bring about some understanding. And it reminds me of when Christianity came to this nation. The Cherokee Indians adopted it because it was 99% of what they already knew about God.
Yes. That is so fascinating. No. Yes.
And what did Jesus say when his apostles said, where have you been after his resurrection? I've been with my other sheep.
Yep.
The ones that don't ask so many foolish questions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Asking me where I've been. Son of God, just resurrected. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Verse 26, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the uttermost corners and dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised and all the house of Israel are circumcised in the heart. Flesh circumcision means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good sanitary thing, but the heart is all God was ever concerned with. And you see where those circumcision got the Jews in Germany during the World War II, you know. Oh, I'm not Jewish. I'm German.
Right. Yeah.
Drop your pants there, pal. Let's see. Okay.
Yeah.
Take him away. It's chapter 10, book of Jeremiah. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. Yes, obviously, if you know God, comet flies by, oh, there's God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Doom and gloom is coming. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Yeah. You go and build a god out of a piece of wood, it's not going to do good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
It might bring upon evil in your heart because of your ignorance. Ay, ay, ay. Verse 6, for inasmuch as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for inasmuch as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms there is none like unto thee. Just worship of God. But they are altogether brutish and foolish, the stock of the doctrine of vanities, like animals. They're all like animals. They run to and fro, have no concept of the Almighty God in heaven. Silver spread unto plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Upaz, the work of the workman, and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their color, clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. And Jeremiah is just laying out the reasoning, the unbelievable reasoning for God. He's made everything. He's done it all by his power. All the god, little gods, small g's that you guys worship, they're all going to burn away one day. And God will still be there, and you'll be standing in front of him, giving an account of how you've led your life, how you use this gift that he's given you. And that's what it is, the gift of life. Mm-hmm. You know, eons ago, during the first age of earth, and you have to catch episode 1 on WBFFradio.com to understand that. Yes, men were here before, and God flooded the place. Jeremiah 4 tells us that. He flooded it, put out the light. That was not Noah's flood. Tore down the cities, killed everything. And that time he killed everything. Not the time of Noah's, and there's a lot of between the lines in the story of Noah. God says, I will kill all the flesh that I have placed the spirit of life into. And how has your pastor ever explained how there were giants before the flood and after? I know he's tried to say that one of them daughter-in-laws of Noah had a few genetics in her, but no, that's not how it was. There's a lot of stuff in this Bible that you don't hear in church. Back to Jeremiah here. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Now that's just very strange talkings there. Mm-hmm. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heaven.
You see revelations right there.
Yeah, and
when he spoke, he spoke into as many waters.
Yes, yes. People. Just millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Those are spirits, my good folks. And you thought that was evaporation of water from the ocean making clouds? No. He maketh lightnings with rain. There, now he's talking about things in the physical world. And bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Basically, chapter 13 says he controls everything from the spirit realm to the physical world. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood. And there is no breath in them. That's self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, you know, let's worship this coffee cup, Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
I think it has power.
That's it. Yeah. Or when
Jonathan, what'd you do? You dropped it and broke it. Yeah. Now, what are we going to worship now?
We're cursed.
They are vanity, and the workers of error in the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Once upon a time, every living soul on this world knew who God was. Mm-hmm. And because their fathers and mothers did not impart that information on, we have a world now that is basically lost. You know, I think there's a couple billion that are on, that are recognized as some sort of Christian of some sort. And that's a very big minority. But, and we come from a place where everyone knew God. How has it been lost? And we've seen that. We've seen that all through this Old Testament. How a generation after Israel knew God, had a relationship with God, they fell away from God and began worshiping things made with hands. And And it's easy to do. Once the knowledge of God is gone, you look for a thing that brings focus to your life, or a thing of power. It reminds me of the old movie Planet of the Apes. That was a very powerful ending.
Mm-hmm.
What the church had come to. There was still a church. And they had that nuclear missile in there. And they were worshiping it.
Yep.
Because that was the almighty power. Because it had destroyed the world. And all they knew thousands of years later was this was the thing capable of destroying the world. This must be God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah is right here just reminding them of all the power that God has, trying to bring about some change. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. But thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out in the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me, for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. God grieves for his children. God hurts for his children. You know, that's why, that's because of all of these centuries of grieving and hurting for the disobedience of his children. That's why it says, the Bible says it brought him good feelings to hurt his son. Because he knew by hurting his son, he could bring salvation to all of these and all the hurt would go away. You don't think of that a lot of times. God grieving, God hurting. Think of God sitting on his throne with a big scepter in his hand, dealing out judgment and power. Jeremiah says he grieves. He's grieving. And I understand that as a father, when your child is not where they should be or in your presence, it's a horrible emptiness in there. You got to understand, God apparently has these feelings also, as it says right there. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth for me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, to set up my curtains. That must have been a good time for God. He's recalling the time of the tabernacle when it was first, when they first got the tabernacle established, and God was present in the camp of the Israelites. And he said, it's all gone. Apparently, just closeness. I can't imagine the enormity of his wonderful feelings once Christ made his sacrifice and the children came and could be in his presence, because they couldn't before. Sinful flesh and sinful spirits cannot be in the presence of a holy God. Book says it will destroy them. And when Christ's perfect sacrifice was made and he went to hell and he preached the nation of Israel and all the others in paradise and they followed him home, they could be in the presence of God at that time. First time since the beginning of the second age of earth. For the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper and all their flocks shall be scattered. Wow, preacher. You stand up in that pulpit, you better know this book. And I'm not talking you read it once through in a year. Behold, the noise of the brood is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and the dens of dragons. And we just went to end times that fast. We were talking about the scattering, 70 AD, and all of a sudden we are in end times. That's Antichrist stuff. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to walketh to direct his steps. There is a lot to be said in 23. And it goes back to the fact that God said, I place the spirit in the heart of man. The mind of man is carnal and is absolutely abject to the will of God, does not want to follow the will of God, because the seed of the serpent resides in the carnal mind. Talking about the organ, the mind. The carnal mind is the seat of the seed of the serpent. And you have to understand that there were two children in the womb of Eve with two different fathers. Ow, I feel the torches and the pitchforks coming out now, Jonathan.
Oh, I know.
Go lock the door, buddy.
Yeah. Get the water hose ready.
Catch episode one, I dare you, WBFFradio.com. If it weren't in this Bible in black and white, I wouldn't say it. I am not going to be on that side of the fence when God says, you have perverted my word. It's here. There were two children in the womb of Eve, two different fathers. How did God say to the serpent, her seed will bruise your head. Your seed will bruise her heel. And then the battle began. The spiritual battle began. God said, wipe out all the inhabitants of Canaan when you go in. Why? Because he's a mean God, right, Jonathan?
Oh, that would be what everyone says.
Oh, they do. Yeah. They quote that so, oh, God is wiping people out.
Right.
Just me. No. The seed of the serpent. That was the offspring. The seed of the serpent. Oh, Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger. Oh, yeah. I got to get back to 23. I went off on a slight bunny trail, but it's read 23 again. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walketh to direct his steps. The carnal man has no ability to go in a moral state. I seen a movie once, and I forget the name of it. But this fellow had died, and they cryogenically frozen him immediately. Until they did it right before he died. Because he had a disease that they couldn't cure. And then, and now we jump 30 years in the future, they got the cure for the disease. They wake him up, and he doesn't wake up, but his body's alive, breathing on its own. Well, no, they had the life support on it. And he just lounges there. And you know, somebody, whoever wrote this book had some knowledge of the spirit world. Because the body lay there. It was alive. It had some life support, but it seemed to be healthy, other than the fact it wasn't breathing on its own. And it lay there, and it lay there. And then one day it woke up. Because one day a spirit came by and found that empty vessel. And that man, although he was a good man before that, the spirit man had left and went to where it went. And the demon had now possessed that body and had himself a home. That man was so evil after that, even though before that they said he was a good man. But it's back to the point. If the spirit man inside you is not in control, this flesh will be evil. You don't have to teach children how to lie and steal. It's in there. Seed of the serpent resides in all of us. Children of Israel, we're disobedient. Remove them all from the land. Oh, we just keep a small portion for servants. That would be good. I don't like chopping wood myself. But we won't have children. Caleb said, all right, you've already disobeyed. You kept a lot, bunch of them. Moses told you to get rid of them. God told you to get rid of them. You kept some. Just don't have babies with them. Oh, yeah, we won't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. We promise.
No, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
24, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, for in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Please don't get angry at me.
Yeah.
You know, I remember this from being corrected by my father. You could get your standard correction when dad got home and mom said, correct the boy. That was a beating. But if you made him mad, that was not a standard correction.
It's a little extra mustard on that one.
That was correction all the way up the stairs and then into the regular standard correction.
Yes. Screaming the whole time.
And then correction afterward. Yeah. Additional corrected. Yep. Don't leave your room for 6 months. We'll put food under the door. I don't care where you go to the bathroom. Oh. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not. and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. It's just, God was leading up to the fact that they would be carried away into captivity because of their disobedience. And God will use the nation of Babylon for that, because God said in this book, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. But here is a last plea we know that's going to happen, but, punish them for doing it. And God does. Even though God uses them as a tool, he will punish them for their iniquities also. And one of their iniquities is pulling his children out of Canaan and bringing them into captivity. Well, what God told them to do that, yes, but it's wrong. Those are God's children. Even though, and you see this vicious circle here, God is in control of everything. All right, Nebuchadnezzar, go drag them all in captivity because I'm putting a punishment on them. Okay, well, time to pay for your dragging them into captivity because they were my people. Yeah? And the circle ends at the point where if both nations followed after God, nothing would have happened like that. There would be no punishments. There would only be the beautiful things of God given to everyone. Wow, that was quite a vicious circle there. I almost couldn't get out of it. Mm-hmm. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines here. I'm a little bit out of breath. Jeremiah is an amazing book. I beseech thee to read it.
Our from favorite, the old English.
Our favorite religious word.
Yes.
Beseech thee to read this book.
It's the most pious word I know.
Yes. It is pious now.
Yeah.
All right. Been on WVFF 97.7 Between the Lines with Jonathan and David, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.